Shmaya. We began Simin Kuf, the halachas of Beria, and what we'll do today is do a little bit more in regards to Beria, and also use this, even though it's not officially on the Grus curriculum, although Yesh Lachbar might be on the Reitz curriculum. We'll touch on also Simin Pei Dalet as well, the halachas of Tzlaim, Erev Tu Bishvat as well. This is when a lot of the poskim discuss. In fact, one of Chacham Avadia has Sefer Chazon Avadia that he has a whole Sefer on Tu Bishvat. So he has the halachos of Tolaim over there. So that's an old custom to discuss it, so the timing works beautifully. We had discussed that the Gemara tells us on the Kuf Amid Aleph that a Beria is not Bafil, and we know that idea that a Beria has Chashivas even though it's tiny from the halachos of Malkus. Last time we left off with the Chakira that we saw from the Prima Gadim, that we saw in our booklet from the Rosh Yosef from the Prima Gadim, that said you could look at the din of Beria in two different ways. One way of looking at Beria is to say that since there is Malkus, so that shows us that the insect is chashuv, and therefore the insect's not going to be batal in the taruvas. That's one way of understanding it. Or Malkus itself is a simen that it's chashuv, that a beria is chashuv, and therefore it's not going to be batal in the taruvas. We saw a nafkamina would be Yisurei Durabanan. If we say it's dependent on the din Malkus, so then in such a case, by Dinei Durabanan, which don't get Malkus Doraisa, so then it would not apply. Or do we say no, that it's Beria by Malkus is just a simen, and it shows us that it's Chashivas, and once it has Chashivas, so then it's not going to be Bata. Keep that in mind. What we're now going to do is see that even though we are Machmir, and we have the Bible over here of checking vegetables and fruits, this is Ravaya's first volume. He has three volumes. I say Bible in quotes because we're going to discuss that not everything is muskum that he writes over here. We're not going to be able to touch on everything, but we'll get a little bit of a taste. When it comes to the shaila of bugs inside of, say, a salad or something like that, I want to show you that there are many different approaches of the Achronim that had different studim to be made of. If you look in the Sefer Ezer L'Shulchan, it's somewhere in your booklet, he has about 9 or 10. I'm going to take what I thought were the best 5 or 6 of reasons that you could be makel. Although a fantastic irony is that I'm not aware of a single posek. We're going to see what Rav Shlomo Zalman writes on it as well. I'm not aware of a single posek that says, this one, that's the one we're going to follow and you could be makel. None of them have become lemaisa lemaisa. But nevertheless, you should be aware of them. And with Mirtz Hashem, one day in passing a shaila, it could very well be that if you're convinced that one or two of them are very legitimate, so it might be a sniff lahakel in certain instances. Okay, the Mishkan Es Yaakov, going in historical order, the Mishkan Es Yaakov, who is a very, very important achron, we've discussed him in the past, first generation in from Volozhin, has a fascinating svara that the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't like at all. And then the Aruch HaShulchan introduces another svara to be makel in regards to Beria. And Mishnah Yaakov appears in the second page in your booklet. And he says, V'lulei demistafina, if I wasn't afraid, Hayisi omer svara nechona bazel lahakel. You should never be afraid to say a svara nechona. So he says the svara nechona. And he says, I think that you could be makel when it comes to bugs in many instances for the following reason. Dihine, mikar din zeh b'gemara d'chulin gabi gina nasha d'parach li vatel, u'mishani beria shani. So beria, the gemara over there, equates to those things that are chashiv that are not vatel. And for example, 4 lines from the top of the second column, u'dani lohasim v'chaticha ri yeskabe. And one of the parallels is to what we're going to learn in a couple of simanim, and that is chaticha ri yeskabe, that's not vatel. V'im ken, skipping a line, first word on the line is nira. Nira, dahainu dafki ima beria o hachaticha omedes be'enei, ubefnei atzav v'nikeres. Says the Mishkanes Yaakov, the only time that in Shulchan Aruch that we said that the berry is not going to be bottled, kigon imala, of tame, gira nasha, evre menachai, all of those things were clearly identifiable things, and because they're identifiable, that's why they're not bottled. Because they're identifiable, they're not bottled. V'nikeres v'akshen yidua, eze surah, kmo gid, v'chaticha shenikar ma'mashon v'niatzen. Aval in the oitzim kiknuso nevin mashasho, mamasho should probably say, v'hudavar hamisariv mamish v'nidbak bepas. If you have something, the postmen are going to spend a lot of time discussing, because this was most common in those days. They didn't have, or they didn't find, a lot of bugs in some of their vegetables, but what they did find was in their flour. So if you see a tiny things, what the postmen called milbin, if you see those tiny things, if I would show you the flower, you would have a very, very hard time even finding these milbim. He says in such a case, the din of beria doesn't apply. Beria was never meant meant for bugs that are very small. Now, we're going to, of course, make reference, maybe we should do that now, that many poskim, all poskim, and here there's no controversy, even the biggest machmir, Ravaya, admits that if there's something that can't be seen at all by the naked eye, then al pi halacha it's not significant. Because everybody knows, already going back to the time of the Tiferes Yisrael, the posts in the last 300, 400 years were very much aware that there were living organisms. In fact, you open up your mouth now, there's probably a living organism that you're going to swallow, but you can't see them. So no one is going to say that you have to remove all living organisms that could be found under a microscope. The question is, something that is tiny, it's tiny, that you would never have noticed it, and when it moves around in such a subtle manner. So then in such a case, would that be considered chashuv, to be considered a beria that's not batal? Reminds us, as the Mishkanes Yaakov, that all this is one category. Beria, chaticha, ruyel, eskabed, etc., etc. They're all one category. And they're a category of something in a taruvos. And if they're a category of something in a taruvos, then the whole point is that they're chashuv. And so therefore, again, unrelated to the issue of of something that can't be seen, even if it could be seen, but if it's so tiny that it's not easily discernible, so then the whole svara of saying that it's not batal for a beria is not going to apply. Now notice the Aruch HaShulchan on the first page in our booklet quotes this Mishkanes Yaakov. Again, just to appreciate historically, the Mishkanes Yaakov is two generations before the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan himself learned in Volozhin. He was himself brother-in-law's with the Netziv. So, and the Mishkanes Yaakov was the Paisik Hadar, the first generation Talmud of the Miyastim of Volozhin. So Mishkanes Yaakov has a very, very important place in the Psak of Lita, aside from the fact that I've told you that I think the Mishkanes Yaakov's Tshuvas are daring and beautiful. I'm very much in love with the Mishkanes Yaakov's Tshuvas. The Aruch HaShulchan, I think it just doesn't get enough play. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes it in our Siman, at the end of our Siman, Siman Kuf, and he rejects it, and he says that the Mishkanos Yaakov is wrong. Avo Yeshul Ma'ara, at the end of Siv Katan Tezayin, he says, Yeshul Ma'ara La'ara Azeh, Darei Al-Kalponim, Atayra Chayv Olav Malkus. He says, but Rebbe, at the end of the day, when it comes to Beria, we know that no matter how small the Beria is, no one is going to say that you don't get Malkus. So you do get Malkus on the tiniest of insects, as long as you're able to see it with the naked eye. You're going to get Malkus. So if that's so, says the Aruch HaShulchan, therefore, when it comes to Beria, I don't care your assumption that Beria is similar to Chaticha Ruy Leskabe, that's easily discernible. It's just simply wrong, because the halachos of Malkus are not that way. That's the argument that the Aruch HaShulchan makes. Ulai, the Aruch HaShulchan and Mishkanes Yaakov are really struggling with the chakira that we were discussing last time. Is it the Malkus that's what's telling us the din of Beria? And it's something that if you're chayim min haTorah Malkus, it's considered Beria that's not batal in the Taruvas. If that's so, then the Aruch HaShulchan is 100% right. We see that you're chayim Malkus on it, and that's it. It's not going to... Or do you say no, that the din of Malkus is a simin that in general it shows us chashivus? Balu Yitzuyer, if you have a case called the Milbin, that's absolutely tiny, so then that's an exception to the rule. It's true that you would get Malkus on it. It's true that ostensibly, if you ate the Milbin by itself, you would get Malkus. But at the end of the day, the Milbin is, in this case, because it's so tiny, they're called something like wits in English. These wits are so tiny that you wouldn't see them at all. So then in such a case, the rule of Bittel doesn't apply. So it just dawned on me after we discussed this Chakira again, that this give and take, this first Svara that we have in the Mishkan Yaakov and the Aruch HaShulchan's rejection might in of itself be Talui in the Chakira Hanam. The Aruch HaShulchan then goes on, and Aruch HaShulchan gives us two out of, I think we're going to have five, different Svaras of why today's insects one could be more makel than it seems in Shulchan Aruch. In Sivkatin Yuzayim, he suggests another Svara. Ulefiyani Yizdayt Yesh Heter Acher, V'cholateos. He says, you don't need the Mishkanus Yaakov Heter. Because Rabbeinu Beis Yosef writes in Kuv Dal, Dvarim Ha-Me'usim, Shenafsho Shal Adam Katzim Hen, Kinemal Mizvum, Yitu Shukal Adam Bodom Hem Musam, Filu Yisarvuk V'tavsho Nimcha Gufa Osof, and Mehet Ribo Lav Moter. So this is a very, very important halacha, Rabbosai. In Simin Kuv Dalid, we have the following halacha. And that is, well, we know an anomalous trait. What happens if nemalim get mixed into a taruvas? The example that the classic case that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses is an achbar. You have a mouse that falls in. So the mouse is aser. The mouse gives off tam into the taruvos. Is that going to aser the entire taruvos? That's what's discussed in Simin Kuf Dalet. So that's the halacha, and what do we say? We say that since a mouse is a davar hapogim, by the way, the early poskims were medayik that other insects the Gemara doesn't call a davar hapogim. In other words, an ant, it's not pashut that it would be called a davar hapogim. In Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, the pashtus is one would be machmir. It's pashut to me that today one would be mekel, that everybody would consider that disgusting, the tam that a bug gives off, and therefore it's considered a pogim. So just mentioning that it is a discussion where you draw the line, whether it's only a rat, or is it also... but today, it would seem to me that all organisms of any significant size would be considered pogim. So that's the bottom line. The halacha is that an insect that is pogim, wherever you draw the line, it's not going to ask through the taruvos. If you take out the achbar, it's going to be mutter. That's what we learn in Kuf Dalet. Says the Aruch HaShulchan four lines into Sivkatan Yudzayin, Me'ata Kavachomer Advarim. Now we have a Kavachomer. De'im min b'desheinu amino d'leroiv poiskim tam keper d'araisa. Im kol zeb advarim ha'mu'usim shenav sheshaldim katzim ein tzarach shishim. We're going to say that these tiny things are going to be bottled because nav sheshaldim katzim behen, and therefore you don't need shishim. Kol shekein b'bitul beria d'zeu rak medrabanan. D'pshita shelo gazwa advarim ha'mu'usim kinemalim luzvuvim. So Aruch HaShulchan has another svara. He says that beria we learned last week is not batal midrabanan. So certainly, he says, if we're going to say that the tam of the nemala is not considered chashav and is going to be batal, certainly the nemala itself, which is ma'us, loses its chashivas. On a doraisa, it's not considered chashav when we don't take its tam into the significance. Certainly, we don't give it significance. Certainly, when it comes to the actual insect itself, that might be different. You could be mefakpik with the Aruch HaShulchan. You could say when we're talking about tam, then it's going to lose its significance. But when we're talking about the whole entity of the berry not being bottled, then it doesn't lose its significance. But that's the Aruch HaShulchan. That's heter number two. That we have in regards to today's, do you need bodek lettuce, right? So in such a case, we have so far the Mishkanus Yaakov's svara, and number two, the Aruch HaShulchan svara, why you wouldn't need it. Yes?
The case in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah was the achbar was removed.
Right.
Has the Aruch HaShulchan been arrived in there? The bug is removed. We're talking about a case where bugs are...
Right, so he's saying, when tam is doraisa... So the halach is, we say it's so ma'us, that it loses its significance. So too, the beria itself loses its significance if its whole entity is ma'us. In other words, it loses its identity as a beria, as its chashivas, because it's so ma'us. Here, take a look inside, about five lines from the bottom, on the first column in Yud Zayin. Vein emes, that it's true. If you eat it by yourself, you get malchus. This that they said that the bug is not bottle. That's not possible that they made a gzera on dvar mamusim. They only made the gzera on those things that have chashivos. It's similar to Mishkan's Yaakov, chaticha roi l'skabeb, but what he's saying is going in the internal status. Not because it's not so discernible, but the internal status is at its most. If the internal status is at its most, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not going to be bottled. That is heter number two. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda.
Do the Nemalim still have to be bottled b'shishim, or
do
the Nemalim don't even need to be bottled b'shishim?
The Nemalim then would be bottled, according to this Svara, I think he'd be saying be bottled b'rov. Correct.
Bottled b'rov. No.
Right. I think he's saying be bottled b'rov. One of our favorite poskim, the Yad Yehuda, has another svara. The Yad Yehuda's svara is a very subtle svara. The Yad Yehuda appears in your photocopies after Rav Shlomo Zalman, Mincha Shlomo. We're continuing mostly in historical order. The Yad Yehuda, on page Nun Dalet, going on to page Nun Hey in the old editions, suggests the following. The truth is, all we need is page Nun Hey. We don't even know Dal. It doesn't say Nun Hey on the top. It's the one that doesn't have, in Hilchos Melicha, it says Perish Ha'aruch on the top. He says as follows. He says, first word on lines Gabe Beria, four lines from the top. Gabe Beria, Duhu Gamke Machmas Chashivas Yisr, L'kol Atanim, V'lo Shayach Beheter Klal, Im Nolad Ha'isr V'taruvos, The Yad Yehuda has a very interesting svara. He says that what happens if you have something that never started out as chashuv? It was nolad b'toch ataruvos. Maybe the din of beria is only, says the Yad Yehuda, when the beria came in existence outside of the taruvos, then the beria has chashivos, and then it's going to be batel. But, and it's, then it's not going to be batel if it came from the outside. But if it's no lag b'taruvos, it never had a chashivos. And then he writes, u'bizeh yesh tikva, and this gives me hope, lahatzel nafsho seinu migodol iser, b'mei hakayitz, to save ourselves from the iser that comes during the summertime, asher kumachi yefsher lizar b'zeh klav. That we, it's almost impossible. Bekemach, the grape in Ukedoma, when it comes, particularly I told you that flour was a big concern of theirs. Ukedoma, Hashem is Havah Behem, Hamilbin, again, these Milbin, these wits. Vehemaktanim, Ood, Hashem, Nitfasim, Apir, Ias, Yayin, Yafet, it's hard to see with the naked eye. Zulas, Lor, Hashemish, he doesn't say, except for magnifying glass, but he says, by the sun, O Ayude, Bedika, Vehefshala, Freedom, Beyadayim, and you, it's even hard to remove them. He says, "Mikol makom kivan she'ein prishasim nikur klal v'gam ein etfasim biyadlios v'efshiri lecholosam afniasol taruvas mira de tamid heimomdim b'chal bittel berov." It's going to be bittel berov. Here it's mefurish Rabbi Yamin that Yad Yehuda says you're going to have bittel berov. So he's saying that when maybe if the insect started out from the outside, so then in such a case it has chashivos. Then even if the Mishnah's Yaakov is wrong. Even if it's small, it's still going to be batel. And even if the Aruch HaShulchan is wrong, that if it's ma'us, it's not, that's not a reason to say that it's batel. But if it was nolad b'toch ataruvos, then in such a case, then it's not going to be batel. That's going to be the Yad Yehuda's svar. Yes?
So also the Shulchan Aruch always keeps on discussing that.
We're going to get to that. I know exactly what you're driving at. We're going to get that. There's a reason why, Rabbi Yamin, I'm not starting with the Shulchan Aruch and Pei Dalet. You're saying intelligent, whether correct, that I had a Talmud that codified this very special term. He said there's something called intelligent but incorrect. You could have an idea that's entirely intelligent, but al-pi halacha, it doesn't add up. So we're going to have to see whether... You're saying very, very good. We're going to have to see how that works out in Shulchan Aruch. Yes?
The case that the insect would start inside the taruvos, would that be like... But eggs were laid, and it would...
Exactly. That's how the Milbin procreate. They procreate inside these things. Now, again, all these details of these different ants and insects, Ravai is all on top of it, and I found it very informative. Also, David Lichtenstein had had two podcasts and headlines on insects and bugs. I got clarification. He interviews Rav Schefter there. I got clarification of Rav Schefter's shita in regards to the copepods in the water in New York. Will Amir Tzashem get there one thing at a time? There is a sefer, a beautiful sefer, Imre Bina, that an achron from the 19th century, whose last name was Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was a descendant of his, so I guess it would be appropriate. He makes no reference to the fact that it's I don't know if it's a great uncle or it may have been a great uncle of his. Anyhow, the Imre Bina's last name was Orbach, and Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes a svara that he quotes Migon Echa that has been discussed seriously by Poskim, and that is the following. You could see it in the Mincha Shlomo, in the first paragraph. We're going to come back to this letter of Rav Shlomo Zalman. There's a letter to Rav Schwab, by the way, a letter to Washington Heights, where he says the following. He says that it could very well be that a person, when he eats it, that he's considered a misasek. He's entirely a misasek. In other words, he's not aware that the bugs are there. And he's misasek when he's eating it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman adds to that svara that, by the way, if he would know that he has to, that there are insects, then he would have to check. But an average person that's eating, do you have to publicize that all these chashas? We're going to get to Miur HaMatzvi shortly. So it could very well be the person is misasek. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman even adds another svara to misasek. Shlomo Zalman says also at the time that he's chewing it, the odds are that by the time he swallows it, it's not going to be a beria. It's not going to be a beria at all, because once it's chewed, then it's going to be broken into pieces. So then it's going to fall into the regular rules of bittul. So he combines these two svaras. So number one, you're a misasek, and while you're eating, you break it up. So that's a svara of the Imre Bina and Rav Shlomo Zalman adds to it to be Mekel. Finally, that svara is debatable, both on the level of Misasek, and Rav Shlomo Zalman himself says that could very well be that once it gets, you have the chiyuv to check it even before it gets the mouth. Finally, the one heter that we have in Shulchan Aruch, on our page in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf, is in the Pischei Tshuva from the Rabbi Yonasan Abishis, the crazy placey, which is a brilliant heter, which the reason I'm leaving it for last of all that Teirim is because this is going to take us to Simin Pei Dalid and go through some of the Yisodos that Rabbi Yamin made reference to. The placey suggests the following brilliant heter. To understand the placey's brilliant heter, one needs to know a basic halacha. Let's just give a little bit of background on Simin Pei Dalid. I photocopied for you the Shulchan Aruch of Pei Dalid. For those of you who have the Shulchan Aruch in front of you, it's very much kedai because I am going to be making references quite a bit to Simin Pei Dalid. If you have it, great. If you don't have it, I hope you'll look it up later. In Siv Dalid, we have, let's take a step back. The Torah prohibits Asheretz HaMayim and the Torah prohibits Asheretz HaAretz. Sheretz means that it moves. In fact, some of the poskim say that that sheretz comes from the idea, Rishon Maluta idea, sheretz, that it moves. Why is that important? Because already the Kadmonim pointed out that there are times that you wouldn't see the insect when it's stationary. But when do you see it? You see it when it starts moving. You see it where it starts moving. So this is why many people say, what's this, you know, people who don't know halacha, what's this about insects? I never see any insects. So the answer is that there are many of the time that the poskim have said that there's a shaila is because they've been shown that you could see the insect when it moves, even though when stationary, it's very, very, it might be very, very difficult to see. I just want to add, before I continue on in the halachas of Pei Dalid, the basic halachas of Sheretz HaMayim and Sheretz HaAretz, that there are people who argue, this is a newfangled chumrah. I never heard of this. People weren't machmir for this before. So, there's truth to it, and there's falsehood to it, in my opinion. The truth, of course, is that they weren't using light boxes and there weren't microscopes when the Rajba was around and so on and so forth. That's for sure. Although you do see that we saw in the Yad Yehuda that the Yad Yehuda said that we have a problem, right? Remember the Yad Yehuda said that? Let me just read you the Yad Yehuda's words. The Yad Yehuda is in Karlin, in Stalin, 150, 200 years ago. And his words were, Yad Yehuda's words were,
what's the line?
10 lines from the top on where it says Perish Ha'arach on the other side of Nun Dal and Nun Hey. His words were, I read this out. Ubazel yesh tikva lahatzel nafshe senu migodel isner bimea kaitz asher ukumat yevshar lizar bazeh. In other words, the Rabbanim were aware that there were bugs. The problem was that they didn't have the technology to be able to remove them. So the Yad Yehuda, they looked for hatztakos, but the poskim were aware, and the poskim did say it wasn't avera. Now, it could very well be that the climate was different, and also Rav Shechter Shlit also makes another point. And he says, in his take on it, and I didn't only hear this from Rav Shechter, there's others, Rav Ruben Feinstein, this both I heard on David Lichtenstein's show, they both made the point that in the 50s and 60s, the government had not prohibited large forms of pesticides. And therefore, what they noticed was that after the pesticides, which were found to be dangerous, were prohibited, that's when the occurrence of bugs began to really appear. So that's Rav Shechter's explanation for why in the 50s and 60s, and that's the explanation Ruben Feinstein says about Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe might not have been as concerned. So it's not true to say that they weren't concerned about these insects. They were. They might not have been aware. It could be that there was the insects weren't as apparent. And okay, so you know, lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharit. So, but well, if we're able to do more, what's halakhically required, then we would be required to do. What we're trying to figure out is what we're required to do. Okay, let's now go back to the psukim. So, Torah prohibits sheretz hamayim, and the Torah prohibits a sheretz haaretz. What is the definition of a sheretz haaretz? So, these are gemaras on the samach vav, samach zayin, samach tes, and the definition is as follows. The gemara tells us that if you have something, insect that grew inside, in other words, its conception took place on a fruit, and on the fruit it was quote unquote born, and then moves around on the pre. So then, in such a case, that would be called a sheretz hashoretz alaretz. We emphasize that the word sheretz is critical in terms of the definition of an insect that's usher. It needs to be sheratz or shoretz al aretz, that crawls on the ground. And if it's attached if it's on a fruit that's attached to the tree, that's called shoretz al haaretz. However, many of our insects are insects that infested the fruits after they were cut off the tree. A lot of times those insects that were on the tree have gone, and new set of insects have come. So here we have the halacha. If you have it in pei dalad dalad, the halacha is as follows: toloim hagdelim beperos betalush mutarim shelo asra tayre el sheretz hasheretz ala aretz. When you have a insect that came into the fruit, it was conceived inside of the fruit. When the fruit is already off the tree, and the insect only walked around inside of the fruit. So then in such a case, the halacha would be that it's not considered a sheretz hashoretz ala aretz, and in such a case, it's going to be mutter. So that's halacha number two. To round out the picture, let's talk about a sheretz hamayim. So that the Gemara on Samach Vav spells out, that the halacha is as follows. If we're talking about a sheretz hamayim, so the halacha is that a sheretz hamayim is aser unless it has fins and scales. Why? Why would you say that? Because whatever's in the water that has fins and scales is a fish that's mutter. So you can have tiny, tiny fish that are mutter as well, but they need to have fins and scales. If they don't have fins and scales, so then in such a case, then they're usher as a form of sheretz hamayim. One exception to the rule, though, And that is, that only applies to the fish and the shratzim that procreate in rivers and in seas. What about those things that procreate in stagnant water, in a well? So then the halacha is different. Those things are not aser as sheretz hamayim, because that's not called halachic mayim. It needs to be what we would call mayim chayim. I'm using that in quotes. I'm not using a halachic hagdara for mikvos right now, but that's a din of mayim chayim. If, however, it grew in stagnant water, it's neither a sheretz hamayim, nor is it a sheretz haaretz, until it climbs out of the stagnant water and walks a little bit on the ground, and then falls back into the water, then it's now what? It's now a sheretz haaretz. Now it's called a sheretz haaretz. Okay, so these are our few different basic hagdaros that, we don't go through the basic dinei tlam, are things that we might not be familiar with. And that's what the Mechaber spells out, Misifim Aleph and Beis. Okay, so those are hagdaros of sheretz haaretz, and those are the basic hagdaros of sheretz hamayim. Comes along the crazy place, and he says something brilliant. He says, if we're talking about the insects that were in the fruits, so then, wait a second. To be called a beria, it needs to be that it's aser mitchilas briyasa. Right? We learned last week that a beria that's aser is mitchilas briyasa, from the beginning of its creation. So says the crazy Uplesi, wait a second. Is this aser mitchilas briyasa? If you have something, if you have an insect that grew in a fruit that was detached from the tree, so then it only becomes aser when it goes out. So it's true that many of the fruit flies grow in the fruit. They fly around a little and they come back. So now they're what? Once they fly around a little, they're sheretz haaretz. By the way, the halacha is they don't even have to go on the aretz. They fly around in the air. That's enough to be considered al pi halacha sheretz haaretz. That the Mechaber spells out paid out. But says the Plesi, what a goyness to kavart. Says the Plesi, but it's not awesome. It's chilas priyasa. Just like when it comes to nevela, when you have an animal that wasn't slaughtered properly, we discussed last week, is not considered a beria because it started out as being kosher cow. It just wasn't slaughtered properly. Now it has a new name. So then it's going to be, and then it's aser, or it wasn't aser mitchilas priyasa. So I'm saying both Tosas and the other Shitos at once. Either way you say it, but at the end of the day, it wasn't mitchilas priyasa. Says the place, see the same thing over here as well. Take a look. Pisrei Shuva quotes it by us, Simin Kuf, Sivkot and Aleph. I am the Sefer Kresi Uplesi, Shalomar Heter on the Molomad Delim Beperos Vekemach, Sha'af and Pirshu Betelim Beshishim, Darehad the Beria Eina Betela, this so we say it's not Batel, Dafku Shuasim Chilis Verasa, Venimla, and these insects, he's assuming most insects, Ein Asim Chilis Verasa, the Kodim Shapir Shaisim Luteres, because before it walked around outside of the fruit, then it's going to be. It's still mutter. It's only when it goes out of the fruit that becomes aser. So the question is why the place is wrong. It's a gaonistika pshat. The assumption of using the place it would be, one would need to ask, what are insect experts called? I'm sure they have a name, and I'm sure there are people out there who are. But one would have to ask, most insects today that appear in vegetables and so on, where the insect that chas v'chalila we might eat when we have lettuce that hasn't been triple checked. So then in such a case, where did that insect come from? Did that insect come from the farm? Or did the insect come into the afterwards? And I'm not capable of answering that question. But the place he thought in those days that most of them, and he said that this is a limud schus. Now again, the place he is doing it as a limud schus. And the place he already is concerned. It's not like the argument that we never heard these things that in the old home they weren't choshek for it. I'm very much into that idea of doing what they did in the old home, but it's just pasha not true. The poskim were aware of it. How much, my grandmother was the only one, the shtetl of the women that knew how to read. So, but my grandmother didn't know about these shilas of Tolan. All the women used to come to my grandmother, she would read Sena Rena to them. So people didn't know very much at the time. But the Yad Yehuda knew about this problem, and the crazy place knew about that problem. So So if a relative of mine would say that our grandmothers weren't choshish for it, I don't think that that's a riot. If Moshe Feinstein wasn't choshish for it, then that becomes a different thing. And maybe the Chazanish does write. I'll get you the Maror Mokom. I forgot to write down Maror Mokom. The Chazanish does talk about something that's so small, that's negligible. He says that maybe it's not us, or there is that. If we're talking about something that's very small, where do you draw the line as small? That's fine. But to say that, you know, there must have been bittul, there must have been a reason that they were matir, it's just not true. When researches the actual poskim themselves, they were choshesh. Just to point out that the Plesi himself concludes, avol didon, etc., etc., v'chasesh on l'hakil im kol zeh, bishum tzad v'al tito shitar simefa, rak al kopon yesh isnatzlus. I'm giving an excuse. He says, I'm trying to find the justification. You have to follow all the Shulchan Aruch's halakos of looking for them, etc., etc., etc. But if you want to know, the Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz was a tremendous Avot Ohev Yisrael, even though there were people, unfortunately, Jews, that were so nehim. And Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz never responded. There was a terrible machlokis that where there were even rabbanim who were involved with accusing Rabbi Yonason Abishitz for terrible things. That's why we call Rabbi Yonason Abishitz the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason. My rabbeim used that term. I know I think they use that term is because to show that halacha definitely follows the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason. Anyhow, he was a tremendous Ohev Yisrael. So he says, I want to defend Kali Yisrael that's not so makbid on this because I have the svari. The svari is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So he says, for sure, al titosh mitaris yimecha, you have to follow all the chumras of Shulchan Aruch, but you should know that there is this hatzdaka. So we have this fascinating balance where we have so many hatzdakos, yet at the same time, if you put everything through the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have these heterim within the Shulchan Aruch. Yes.
Well, if you went with that svara, then like, what would be the issue that the Shulchan Aruch mentions in like Zabalos and Beis? Where he says that if you move it, take it from the bore into the cleat, like once it's like all the chumras that the Shulchan Aruch bring down are not applicable, let's say you take it out of the bore and you put it in a cleat, so he says that you can't do it. The Rama says you can't.
Right.
Do that.
So the Rama says why? Because the Rama says because we're choshesh, it's going to go out. Correct.
Well, if you can't even put one out. It wasn't us from the beginning. When it was created.
You mean you're saying the Sheretz Hamayim? You're saying. Sheretz Hamayim, just a second. Rabbi Yonah is asking by Sheretz Hamayim, so there it started off. No, because right. So the answer is like this. Eina Chanami. The Rebbe Rabbi Yonason is saying as follows. He's saying as a Beria, it's going to be us. As a Nemala, as a Sheretz Hamayim, as a Sheretz Haaretz, it's going to be usr. But Al's Bittul, it's not going to have a Din Beria. In other words, the shaila over here is when it's in a taruvos. He's saying people are eating their strawberries like this. So when you're eating a strawberry, so then in such a case, then it's a taruvos. That's what he's saying. It's not the berry is not going to be bottled in the taruvos. Okay, good. All right, Rabosai, this is Roman numeral one, and that is these hatzakos. At the end of the day, in Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention any of these hatzakos. So. It's not a surprise that the minig of Hamorim, particularly the OU's policy and so on, is to check for bugs and so on to make sure that there aren't any bugs. And Mirtz Hashem, Sunday night with the women in Mishkafayim, we'll be mafalpal in a different way. We'll be medayik in revised ways of the way Revaya suggests how to check versus the way the OU says how to check. There are differences between the two about the level of checking, which is going to get us to the next part of today's shiur, that there are differences on that front, but those details we're going to leave out more today. We're going to focus on more of the fundamental issues. Okay, let's take a look at Simin Pei Dalet, where we summarize the Siyata the Shemaya, the basic shittas and the basic opinion within Shulchan Aruch. But there is a very important comment of the Ramah in Simin Pei Dalet Si'if Ches. That catapults us to the next issue in halacha, and that is how far do you have to go to check? In other words, we're saying that we're not going to rely, that our great rabbein did not rely carte blanche on any of the heterim that I'm aware of. None of them relied on these heterim. But how much do you have to check? How far do you have to go to check? What exactly is the requirement to check? What's the nature of that of that requirement. So first of all, we have the Ramah's comment in Sifches. The Ramah says, "V'lo mahani behem bada karov el tsarich livdo kulam dahavim miut d'shchiach." The Ramah quotes a Rajva who says that you have to check everything. In other words, what we call a spot check, the Ramah says is not acceptable. And the Shach gives us a very, very important makar, which is very important to halacha l'maisa. And that is, and it's a term probably that you've heard, the Shach says in Sifkatan Chafches, v'chol shematsui, if you have a miut, so clearly the strawberries are the rov, and clearly the insects in the strawberries are the miut. By the way, they say strawberries are extremely infested. So says the Shach, l'chol shematsui, ain't somchin al b'dikas harov. So you've got the rove of the strawberry. You can't even be selmet by checking the rove of the strawberry. Why? The Shach says, v'dome l'b'dikas hareya, b'simin lamites, b'rei simin lamites. Rav Shechter Shlita likes to point out that the rule of b'dikas hareya, that checking the lungs, which appears in the third perek of Chulin, the Ramban tells us that most lungs don't have sirchas. They don't have abrasions. And they wouldn't make the animal a trefa. But the way Rav Shechter reads the Ramban in the Melchama says that there's a miut hamatsui of lungs that do have sirchas. So even though, really al pi halacha, you should be able to eat every animal without checking its lung, that's a trefa. Why? Because you should follow rov. That's what we call aruba delesa kaman. Most of the animals are kosher, so you should be able to follow rov. That's part of achrei rav lahatos. Just as taking a step back, let's remind ourselves that there are two different types of rov. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Chulin, daf ches, daf tes, the Gemara tells us there's something called aruba deisa kaman and something called aruba delesa kaman. Both of them are based on the pasuk of achrei rav lahatos. Aruba deisa kaman is if you have three pieces of meat, two of them are kosher, one is not kosher, you're allowed to eat one of the pieces of meat. Then, when it comes to ruba, and we discussed how much of the tarubas you're allowed to eat. And then when it comes to a ruba delesa kaman, that means we know that most animals, by doing a statistical study, we know that was a statistical study. You don't need to have a PhD in statistics. A statistical study is mean that the Rabbanim saw after time that the majority of the animals are kosher. Okay, that they're not trefos. But they also saw that there was a pretty consistent miut of animals that the lungs had a problem. So therefore, you don't have to check an animal to check if its stomach had an abrasion. Why? Because that was very, very uncommon. But the lungs, that was pretty common, an abrasion that would make it a trefa. So that's what the Ramban calls a miut hamatzui. If you have a miut hamatzui, then you have the following halacha. This is critical. When you have a miut hamatzui, then you need to do a bedika. You have to check if this is one of those animals that has a sircha. And that's what the Shach is saying over here. In Pei Dalet Chavches, the Shach is saying that's what you got to do when you got to check the fruit or the vegetable. Similar to the halacha when it comes to the rea, that you have to check the rea. And you can't rely on the fact that you checked one part of the rea, you got to check all of it, says the Shach. So too, the Ramah says that you got to check all of the vegetable, and checking part of it is not going to be enough. Now, what does that mean for us, Lamaisa? So what it means for us, Lamaisa, is as follows. The Tshuvas Mishkanes Yaakov, in a totally different tshuva, writes, and this is the way most poskim rule. There are poskim today contemporary poskim who are machmir, but I think the OU follows this policy. I think it makes a lot of sense not to be more machmir than this. A mira matzi is anything that's more than 10%. Anything less than 10% is considered a miut shein matzli, and in such a case, you could follow rov, and there's no need to check. But if you have 10% more of a chance that there'll be an insect, so then in such a case, one needs to check. Now, obviously, you and I don't know what the percentages are. The professionals do know. They will have a sense of whether it's a miut hamatzli or not. This is the shir of the Mishkan Siyakov. It's quoted in names of Rav Yashiv less, and Rav Volzner even less. Kimdumani, that one could rely on 10%, not 8% or 4%, but only by 10% and on, there would be a chiyuv of bedika. That I think, is the Pashtus HaShach. Now, there is a fantastic sefer, which I feel passionately about learning from, and that is a sefer by Rav Itam Henkin, Hashem Yikom Domo. That was Rav Yehuda Henkin, Rabbanit Chana Henkin's son, who was killed al Kiddush Hashem with his wife. He was a big Talmud Chacham, a unique Talmud Chacham, and he wrote a sefer, Lachem Yeh La'achla, on the halachos of checking for insects, and he was the antagonist, I don't know if that's the right word, but he disagreed with Ravaya's shitas. He thought that Ravaya was being way too machmir. And he has very intelligent essays. Some of them, in the little I understand, I agree with. Some of them, the little I understand, I disagree with. But still, nevertheless, he did a fantastic, a very interesting job explaining why he thought that already about 15 years ago, why he thought the world was being too machmir. Didn't have to check as much in certain instances. But it's a very, very, very intelligent book. So I'm going to say one point of his that I disagree with, as chavivus for his Torah, as well as one point where I agree with, which I think is very, very powerful. The point that I disagree with, if you take a look in your booklet, you'll see towards the end, on page 70, he suggests that there's a, and it's logical, I just don't think the Shach agrees with him. On page 71 in Lachem Yeh La'achla, he suggests that there's a big difference between the case of vegetables and the case of checking lungs. He says that there is a Beis Ephraim that says you can't equate every miut hamotzli. And he also has a Sfas Emes that points out that the halachos of the of sircha and the halachos of bugs are very, very different. Let me just find this line from the Sfas Emes. I did not photocopy the line from the Sfas Emes, but I could find it quickly. Yes. He says that the Sfas Emes points out that when you have an independent lung, each lung is different, then you're going to have to check every single lung. You have to check every single lung. However, when it comes to a taruvos, so there it's one taruvos. So who says that the halacha is that just because Mira Motzi says that you have to check every lung, that you have to check the entire taruvos? Maybe just doing spot checks is going to be enough. And he quotes a Sfas Emes that says this. It's interesting, the Sfas Emes normally is printed in three volumes. When I was a child, it was printed in three volumes. They've now printed a fourth volume on Yoredeya, which I find very hard to get, but it's a Sfas Emes, or a Henkin quotes on page 78 in his book. And Sfas Emes in Yoredeya, Simen Pei Dal Siv Dalid. He has a Sfas Emes, and he has other Achronim, as well as a Beis Ephraim, that say that you shouldn't equate all the halachos of Bedika Sareya. One nafkamina is going to be this idea of whether you have to check the entire sample. So I just want to point out that this part, I think, is not Muslim at all, lahalacha. Lahalacha, the Shach and the Ramah seem to be clear to equate the din of Miur Hamotzli when it comes to Bedika Sareyos to vegetables, and therefore it would be the same din. It would be the same din in terms of the percentages. Rav Henkin says that Mishkanes Yaakov is only a chumrah. He says, based on his arguments, it wouldn't be the same percentages. It seems to me to be clear that the Shach at least holds not that way, and we would have to treat the same din of miut hamotzli when it comes to bedika of vegetables, like the din of bedika sareya as well. So just like if there's a 10% chance that there's going to be bugs, there's going to be a chiyuv of bedika, and you're not allowed to eat it unless you've checked it. So just like the din by Bedikas Harei, he says Mehechitesi, the sirchas might be different because there we have there's an independent chiyuv to check. Also, the nafkamina we said was whether to check. They have to check the whole taruvah, so you don't have to check the whole taruvah. It's clear that the shach and the Rama and shachar machmir. Yes,
so he's trying to say that it's not a mir matzu, that it's a mir sheina matzu.
No, he's not arguing. He's arguing that it could very well be that this mir hamatzu is more lenient than the mir hamatzu of.
Therefore, you wouldn't have to check.
And then you wouldn't have the same chiyuv. He also points out that a sircha is a chshash of a treifa. That's a chshash of a deraisa. Over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about beria. What's beria? Beria is only a din derabanan. So he says there is a lot of room to move the chains over. You could say that maybe there are opinions who hold that miut sheinu matzui, that a miut hamatzui is only 40%, 45%, which would most cases would. So he tries, Rav Henkins at Zatzal tries to move over the chains, and that I find difficult. I think the chains have to be in the same place.
So he was just trying to make it that you wouldn't have to check each one; you still have to check a row.
Correct. Or, in cases of sveikos, since at the end of the day this is a derabanan and so on, maybe we could be more makel. He concludes also that 10% would be a chumrat. You could follow the more lenient opinions who say that a miyur hamatzli is only 40%, 45%. That's another svar of his. All based on this idea, he calls it the gzera shava. He says this whole gzera shava to dina bedikas hareos, he thinks is not mufruch. So I'm just pointing out that's mufurish in the shach. That the Shach understood it that way. Okay, that's number one. The Shach is in Sifkatan Chaf Ches. That's right. Chaf Ches. Okay. Now, there is, however, something that I think a very powerful point that he makes, that Ravaya is Machmiran from the poskim of the previous generation, that I think Rav Henkin does make a very nice point about. And that is the following issue. Let's put the issue forward. Here's a photocopy from Ravaya Sefer. I actually folded over what page it is. For those of you who are interested in what page it is, I'll find it in the original. This is on in Ravaya's book, in his first volume. It's page 118. And 119. Here, Ravaya discusses the following question. How you check 10% is a fascinating issue. In other words, 10% of what? We're in agreement over here in this classroom that the chiyuv is to do bedika if on the vegetables, in the lettuce, there's a 10% chance that there's bugs, then you have to check all of the lettuce. If it's a 5%, then you don't have to check at all. Why? Because it's going to be batel berov. It's going to be batel berov. It's a beria. The answer is that you only have to check. The only time there's a chiyuv to check is if there is a miut hamatzu. If it's a miut shein hamatzu, you don't have to check. That's what the Ramah taught us. So, what 10% of what? So, for example, how many apples do you eat at once? Most people eat one or two apples. Okay? When you go to the store, how many apples do you buy? 10, 8. So, are we saying that in 8 apples, there's a 10% chance of a worm? Are we saying in 1 apple, is there a 10% chance of a worm? That's a big, big, big nafgamina. It could be that there's a 10% chance of a worm in 20 apples. But definitely not in 1 apple. So that Ravaya brings down over here. In Perek Ravi, footnote number 4, he has a safek, and he says that most of the Gedolei HaPoskim told him that the halacha is, it has to be of what you generally buy in the store at once. And that comes out that he's almost all the safer is assuming when he says that you have to check this and this and this fruit and this vegetable, he's talking about because what you normally buy in the store, there's a 10% chance that it's going to have a bug.
One of them
will have a bug. That's right. Only one bug. That's right. Because if you eat the whole apple, it is true that sometimes people throw out the apple, but or half of the apple, but at the end of the day, that's, even one bug. One bug is five lavim, not something to poo-poo about. Okay, so that's what Ravaya writes. I thought Rav Henkin had a beautiful diuk in our Grand Rebbe's tshuva. Rav Shlomo Zalman, it seemed, was not so happy answering questions about bugs, but he sort of was pushed to the wall. And he has, in Mincha Shlomo, in Simen Samach Beis, I mentioned to you that he has his ancestor's Svara, and he goes through, it's actually, the tshuva is actually a great chazara. Shlomo Zalman in Simen Samach, oh, it's actually Simen, in this edition, Simen Samach Gimel. Simen Samach Gimel, Os Aleph, by the way, Ravaya gives the whole text of the Shaila also from Rav Schwab in the back of his Sefer, of this Pesach from Rav Shlomo Zalman, so it's also there, because it's not so clear sometimes what he's answering. It's a great tshuva for us, because Imam Shchazer's today's shir in two columns. So let's rip through the Mincha Shlomo. Be'inyin achshash mitalom mipnei hamiyun amotzi. L'tzareinu hu davar matzui v'chomer ma'od. He says, it is a shayla. Sharei v'kam gamna shi efshal levdok al yideo terech odom od, shezavad erak midrabanan, even though it's a tircha to check. And Beri is only a drabanan. Afilu hafi echmiru b'zebek poskim, says the poskim were machmir. And then he ticks off all that terim, and says, well, here are some heterim, but at the end of the day, the minig is not to follow them. Crazy place of the place of Svaru Mahani Le Bitov Neshain, Asamit Chiswat Meshorets, Mavur Pischechub Darki Chuva, Shiram his Sigola. Many disagrees. Vichain, Bimashab Hela Hagon Bal Shivas Tzion, that's the Arch Lener. Vimze Mamish Mos, Epshad the Choshev Lagabe Atalos, Kidden Dover Shem Savin, Masasek Balma. Since he doesn't want to eat it, it's Masasek. So I know this is the Imre Bina Svara, that the Imre Bina says that at the end of the day, he doesn't want to eat it, and he's going to be stam a mesasek. Zalman says it seems like he's doing Aveira. But then he says, Mikol Mokom, skipping down in the second paragraph, Mikol Mokom, about halfway through the paragraph, Mikol Mokom, Lagabe Chshasho Miyat Hamotzui Ef Shichon Mischashim Zeh, Ki Yishlomer Da'af Shim Chilko Befnim Lachar Shekvar Nimtza V'Tel Chapeh, Kainlom Kerab Yochanan, Shadayin Yeshal Zeh Din Beria, Mikol Mokom Medover Shum Mes'ua V'Mos, he doesn't want it. Lo shayach la lomer v'zeh shekach derech achilaso. Sherei kol dama yisameach im yohachon lo kol asiro. V'chein efshir da'afagav shatora asrasa afilu mamish mos. Mikol mokom nisraseik samech lipliyoso efshir kai gamesu l'chashir beria. I mentioned to you the svara that on the one hand it's mo'us, and that was the Imre Bina svara, combined with the fact that he's going to chew it beforehand. Okay. So Reb Shlomo Zalman goes through those svaras. He in Os Aleph then says that the shear is miura motzu is 10%. So that's fine, even though there were others who were more machmir. And then he gets to a very practical question. In Oz Beis, in regards to the lettuce, is there a chiyuv to check the lettuce? So he says, mistavra, the kiman shim bo lechol es kol aguda shel chasa, tzrichim lachsho shim metulas v'tom bedika. He says, since a person can eat an entire stalk of romaine lettuce. So for example, most of the time lettuce is consumed in my house is when my wife prepares it as a salad and she puts the whole stalk of lettuce into the salad. Memela, ef shagam lahatur ala achas mefnei hatam shekenegad zeh lechol klal mi matzi. And you can't say that you're going to eat only one leaf. You'll eat one leaf at a time. If you eat one leaf at a time, so then you'll say, each leaf doesn't have a 10% chance that there's bugs. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, but if you normally eat the whole head at once, so then you have to check even one leaf. Because that's what's normal, how you eat it. So you take a look at the next page, Rav Henkin says, therefore, it depends on what type of fruits and vegetables we're talking about. You could be medayik that Rav Shlomo Zalman was saying, that since it's normal to consume, whether it's one person or the whole family, to consume a head of lettuce at once, so then you're mishaer 10% against what? Against the entire head of lettuce. And if there's a 10% chance that there's bugs in the lettuce, so then in such a case, you have to check the whole lettuce. But what happens if it's normal to consume one apple? That's the difference between a head of lettuce and apples. So then, in such a case, he says, then 10% is going to be decided by the apples. It would seem to me that this diuk from Rav Shlomo Zalman is extremely legitimate. He's medayik that Rav Shlomo Zalman says that a half an apple, you people normally don't only eat a half an apple, but they eat a whole apple. So he says that the 10% would be on the apple. So that seems to be against what Ravaya says, that you estimate 10% against the entire produce that you buy in the store. It would seem to me that that mahalach makes much, much sense. Okay. Finally, yes, go ahead.
Have you ever asked for Nevin Salavat?
I don't have any notes on this. I don't recall. In other words, I don't recall ever discussing this topic with him. Maybe I'll do it next week. But that those are the two. These are two different mahalchim. Finally, just since it's very much nogeh to the chevra, just to be aware of what the issues are in terms of asking a shaila. So the water in New York revolves around the following issue. In the water in New York has something called copepods. And copepods are these tiny, almost translucent bugs that were found in the water. It's absolutely a mind-boggling story how the religious community was aware of it. The Department of Health knew about this for years, but the frum community, this became a brouhaha when Rabbi Bleich jokes and he calls it the Watergate scandal. So how did this become a brouhaha? It happened when it's an amazing story. This was when we were zocha to be living in Gush Katif. Klal Yisrael was zocha to be living in Gush Katif. So the lettuce that was shipped to all the hotels in America was from Gush Katif, was bug free. So they shipped it to one of the hotels, and they had a conscientious mashkiach over there. Mashkiach checked out to be sure that the Gush Katif lettuce really was bug-free. And lo and behold, he finds bugs. Again, one would only have to be machmir if the bugs were nikar le'inayim. But he found something that... Again, some of the problem is that Ravaya's Talmidim use very, very extensive instruments in finding the bugs. But the Gedolei HaRabbanim always emphasize that's only the only time it's going to be usher is what's nikra la'ayin. The big discussion that we're not getting involved is what happens if you can notice a speck but you can't notice that's a bug. So you're going to hear shortly what Rav Schefter's Shita is as far as that's concerned. Okay, so the Mashiach found the bug. So he called up Gush Katif. And he said, you guys messed up this year. There are bugs. They said, there's no way. We're positive there are no bugs. He said, there are bugs. They go back and forth. I would imagine they're already screaming at each other. And then the guy in Gush Katif says, wait a second. Check the water. Mashkiach goes and he checks the water. Sure enough, the water has bugs. The lettuce didn't have the bugs. It was the water. They washed the lettuce beforehand. And the water was what had the bugs. Okay. So now all of a sudden, the religious community knows that there's bugs in the water. So Rav Schefter recounts that it's well known that in YU that some of the places have filters for the bugs. And Rav Schefter himself is machmir. Why is Rav Schefter machmir? So he says that what happens is if you look in the water in New York, you won't see any bugs. But, he said, a mashkiach went to the reservoir. And he went to the reservoir and he found and he brought Rav Schefter the water. And he said, if you look in the water with your naked eye, you could see the water moving. And then they pulled out some magnifying glass and it was clear that it was these translucent bugs that the water was moving. So it was obvious if you looked at the water that there was something causing the water to move. What was it? It was the bugs that were swimming around the water. So Rav Schechter says that once the bugs are swimming around the water, so then in such a case, then the bugs are going to be usur.
If you can't get them in your tap.
Oh, okay, very good. So what happens when it comes to the tap? So the answer is that there's hundreds, thousands, millions of gallons of water that are rushing from these massive pipes from upstate New York and other places into New York City. And once these copepods are put through that death march, so then they don't survive. By the time they get to New York City, they're dead. So here is the machlokas between Rav Belsky Zatzal and Rav Schechter, Yibadel L'chayim Tovim. Rav Belsky said that at the end of the day, if the bugs are dead, the Darchei Tshuva says that if you don't see the bugs because they're cooked, I'm sorry, if you don't see the bugs, take the Darchei Tshuva out for a second, I'll get back to it. The halacha is that you don't see the bugs, Rav Belsky says. So then it was usur when it was in the reservoir, but it's no longer here. It's not a barrier here. You don't even see them. And Rav Schechter points to a Darchei Tshuva in Siman Pei Dalet. The Darchei Tshuva says that if you have bugs that you saw in a pot of water, but then you cook the water and then the bugs die and you don't see them, so then in such a case, it's still usur. So Rav Schechter says, who cares about the fact that they're dead and now you don't see them? Beforehand, you did. You knew that they were there. So the Nekudas HaMachloka seems to be how you look at what happens when the water gets from the reservoir into the tap. And Rav Schechter here is based on the idea that we mentioned before, that the bugs are going to be usur, even though you can't discern them with your naked eye as being bugs. But you notice that they're moving around, that by definition is going to make it usur. You could also disagree with Rav Schechter Shlita and say, but you don't see the bug, you only see the water moving. Right? But that argument is that the only reason you don't see them is because they're relatively translucent. But they're large enough to see. They just happen to be very, very, very thin and very light. So that is to this day, Nahara Nahara Upashte. There are different shitas, and it's definitely connected to our sugya of Beria. I have one Ha'ara, and that gets back to what Rabbi Yaman was pointing out from the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, and that is if the bugs weren't born in the reservoir, but they're born in the stagnant wells. In other words, let's say you have bugs in the pipes in New York City. So then we have it wasn't usur until it shoreitz al ha'aretz. So the Ramah happens to be machmir, and the Ramah says that any time it's poured from one cup into the next, we have to be choshesh that went to the side. That was what you were referring to. Ramah says you have to be choshesh that went out and went back in.
Isn't the reservoir also stagnant?
So, no. Al pi halacha, the reservoir is... It depends. There is a big discussion about that. Most hold that since the reservoir at times move, it wouldn't be considered like a bore and so on. The reservoir is hard to say. But it depends on where the copepods emerge. And it could be, as you said, there might be different areas in different cities and different countries, some being more like rivers and some being more like a bar. Then in such a case, I think even though the halacha says that if it goes from the bar into another cup, you have to be choshesh that went to the side of the cup and then was shoreitz ala aretz, I think there is another sniff to be made in such an instance. But the pashtus, even by Shulchan Aruch standards, it's going to be awesome, which has been the theme of what we've been learning today. And that is there were many tzadim that the poskim had introduced to be matzik, when the fact that people at times seem to chasachali be nashol in tolaim, all of those things are not mefurish in Shulchan Aruch, so therefore we do what we can to remove. But one should know in cases of need, all of those tzadim lahatir. And even when it comes to bugs in the water, I'm pointing out that there is if it's not nikar, so then in such a case, then you only have a suffix derabon and a beria, and in such an instance, there when it's it could very well be that in cases of where they were conceived, these insects were conceived in stagnant water, so then it would still be neither sheretz hamayim nor sheretz haaretz. But it seems that in New York it's real shaila, And then that becomes the Nekuda Samachlokas we saw between Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter. I'm just using those two names because those are the OU Poskim, but you can line up another 30 names on either side. But, I didn't collect the names. I'm not into
who says that by the time it gets into our attempt that they're still there?
Oh, they've been found.
They've been found dead.
They've been found dead in the water.
New York doesn't have its own filtering process?
No, not for bugs. In fact, Rav Shechter said that the Aguda, the first thing that Aguda did when they found out about the Shilas, they called up Department of Health and said, what happens if we would sponsor a filtering process? So they called in the head of budget for the Department of Health, and he said, well, if you want to sponsor, it'll be about $15 billion. So they said, no, thank you. So the Shilas remains. That was the first try. The first try was to install a filtering process, but it was deemed unrealistic.
Water edge as well?
I haven't. It's fascinating. New York was the lucky winner. It's only like three cities in all of the United States that have this problem.
The reputation is that New York is like the cleanest.
It has the best water. I think those of us who were zochet to come to Eretz Yisrael, that was one of the things that we had to adjust to, was that New York's water is fantastic. You know, in fact, how much of the bugs have to do with the fact that it's so fantastic? You know, that it's a crazy to point out how things have changed in terms of the pesticides versus today. They tell me, I find this hard to believe, but I've heard Rabban, more than one Rav say this, that when they tell you, when the Department of Health tells you the nutritional value of the vegetables and the fruits, they put in proteins. But there's no protein in vegetables and fruits. You know what it is? It's the insects. They calculate the insects. They're so well aware of the insects that are in the fruits and vegetables that calculating the nutritional value is the protein from the insects and the vegetables. That's wild. But this goes to show you how real the chashash is. Okay, Nahara Nahara Pashi. Our job is to report, and then we have to learn more to figure out. But again, Ravai has his